It's 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Kara Lawrence. This is Let's Hear It. And today we preview a wonderful concert set for Friday night at 7:30 p.m. in Miller Auditorium. It's called Raymond Returns. I am personally so glad to once again welcome Maestro Raymond Harvey to WMUK and have a chance to look back on some wonderful memories.
Lots of memories. Yes, indeed.
Right. Yes. You stepped down from the Kalamazoo Symphony in 2017, moved to Houston, are directing opera, associate professor at the University of Houston, and enjoying weather much nicer than today.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. But it was funny. I made sure I checked the weather forecast before I flew here. And I looked at the forecast and frowned. But then I had to find my winter coat. I couldn't remember where I'd put it. It was in the back of a guest room closet.
That was good thinking. I mean, you didn't throw it away, at least.
No.
And that's partly because you have a current standing here as music director emeritus of the Kalamazoo Symphony. And we do expect you back once a season, generally, to conduct one of these symphonic series concerts.
Of course, you know, in the last few years with the upheaval and the pandemic and everything, I realize I have not conducted this orchestra since 2017.
And that's why this concert is called Raymond Returns. There is no guest artist. You are the star. And those of us who have built great memories of your music making with the symphony over, it was 18-year tenure, can be thrilled to attend on a Friday night. That is tomorrow night. And perhaps there are new people in town in the last 5 years who'd like to see and compare and contrast our current music director and our emeritus director in Kalamazoo. You've picked out a wonderful program. We'll be delving into the music, picking out some excerpts. I want to tell listeners, though, that all the details on this concert are at KalamazooSymphony.com. And you will also see the full COVID policy there. And I can shorten it up by saying masks are required and proof of vaccination is required. It has been hard to keep everyone safe over the last couple of years. And that is why these things are requested a little above and beyond what we're used to. But we need to keep the numbers down. And Michigan is a hot spot currently.
Yes, yes, yeah, sure, unfortunately.
You were probably dismayed to see the COVID map as well as the weather map.
Yes, indeed.
Now, some of the highlights of your tenure included concerts like The World Of, where you would pick out a special composer and not only share a lifetime of music, but include a lifetime of stories in those concerts.
Those programs were, if I say so myself, rather unique.
Yes.
You know, I would always choose a different composer, the world of Rachmaninoff, the world of Mozart, the world of Beethoven. And the challenge for me was that we were doing these with a relatively small number of players. It was a chamber orchestra, not a full orchestra. And so I went out of my way to find lesser known works by these famous composers, which I think thrilled a lot of the audience members who know so much classical music but had never heard such and such a composition by this composer. And then I, you know, the ham in me added all these theatrical things and costumes, and I wrote the script, and we always had some humor, and it was a special sort of series.
Now, as I understand it, one of your primary responsibilities is preparing opera.
Yes. At the University of Houston, I'm technically an associate professor there at the School of Music. I am the music director for the opera department. The Moores Opera Center is an amazing, amazing opera department. My colleague, Buck Ross, started the program from scratch. He's the stage director and the producer. He's been there for 36 years. and now, as of this last year, we actually just won a nationwide award as the best music school of universities all over the United States.
What an honor.
The opera program is terrific. We do four full operas every year, multiple performances, double cast, big productions in a beautiful performing space.
If you're a singer and you attend the University of Houston, you can be cast.
Oh, yes.
And expect to
perform. And we cast any talent. I mean, you don't have to be a graduate student. You don't have to be a music major. If you audition and you sound great, we'll find a role for you.
Do you ever run into any surprising West Michigan connections all the way down in Texas?
Every now and again, yes. And as a matter of fact, there was not too long ago, there was a graduate student there whose mother lives here in Kalamazoo. And I knew her mother, but, you know, I had just then met her daughter there. But one of the things about the music world, word of mouth travels fast. So if there are good programs to belong to or good organizations to sing with or play with, mm-hmm. you know, the word spreads.
Mm-hmm. This is in line with your love of opera, which you already were demonstrating as a music director in Kalamazoo. Frequently, it was at every other year staging a concert mm-hmm. version of an opera. Mm-hmm. Verdi and Mozart, the Don Giovanni performance was the last one, as I recall.
Yes, yes.
In 2017.
Right. And what people may not connect was that the stage director for the Don Giovanni we did here is my colleague in Houston.
Mr. Buck?
Mr. Buck Ross, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah. So perhaps before we get into tomorrow night's program, what are some of the operas that you are proud to have directed and...
Oh, goodness. there are so many. First of all, in the world of opera, besides the semi-stage ones we did here in Kalamazoo, for 16 years I was music director of El Paso Opera in Texas. So that was... three operas a year there. Mm. 16 years is a lot. In Houston, with the number of operas we do each season, I've been in Houston now for 8 years, and I've conducted at least 22 operas there, all different, no repeats.
Wow.
We also pride ourselves in always scheduling one opera by an American composer, mm-hmm. Usually a living American composer, or if not, something written within the last 10 or 15 years. It's good for our audiences. It's great for our students. Mm-hmm. It can be challenging, but it's nice to do something American and something new.
That means also you have to learn all the new music as well.
Yeah. The other half of my duties there is also I teach conducting to the graduate students that are studying opera conducting. I usually only have one or two a year. Mm-hmm. And so I have regular lessons with them. They're my assistants for the productions we do. And usually one of them will get to conduct an entire opera on their own.
Wow. Everything about opera is just a little extra.
Well, it's bigger than life. And so are the people that are involved in it.
Well, I love the pieces you have chosen for tomorrow night's concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and I'm sure the orchestra is pretty happy as well. Listed online are two big works, but the concert actually will begin with Carl Maria von Weber overture to an opera.
Yes, yes.
Called Der Freischütz.
Right.
It's a wonderful standalone overture.
Yes, it is. It's one of the big famous German romantic overtures. It has something for everybody. The textures are just amazing. It has suspense, but early in the overture, there is a hymn-like tune for the four French horn players. Beautifully phrased and beautifully put together. And horn players love playing this. You know, they have their own horn quartet at the beginning of this overture. And then the music gets very dramatic. It's mostly in minor and dark colors and gloomy things, but then there's victory at the end, as in most operas, and C minor changes to C major, and everybody is happy.
It's called Der Freischütz, and I said that's the free shooter, but you said more accurately.
The better English translation is the marksman.
The marksman.
It's about a man who he's in a shooting contest. And the prize will be this young woman who will become his bride. And the story involves ways that he figures out how to cheat.
And this is well before Wagner came up with the Meistersinger, which
right.
is about a singing competition.
Which I love that opera. I've seen several productions of it. I just went about 3 weeks ago to New York City for a weekend to see the Metropolitan Opera's production of Die Meistersinger. I was in heaven.
I'm with Maestro Raymond Harvey, the music director emeritus of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and we're thrilled to have Maestro Harvey back in town to conduct tomorrow night's concert, which begins with the overture to Die Freischütz by Carl Maria von Weber. The first half of the concert continues with Beethoven's 7th Symphony. I believe you're returning to well-traveled paths with Beethoven.
Oh, certainly.
Here. Yeah.
Just as an aside, all three of the works on this program are works that I've conducted with the Kalamazoo Symphony in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I looked back and saw that I think the last time we did the Stravinsky, which is at the end of the program, I think the last time was 2004, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
But these are all great classics of the orchestra repertoire. And there's a reason that these pieces have stayed in the repertoire and stayed in the hearts and minds of audiences and musicians, because they have so much to offer. You can never get tired of revisiting Beethoven. Even though you know it well and you've heard it who knows how many times, you always discover some new and interesting things. And I find that very challenging but extremely rewarding.
Did the orchestra come together last night? I'm not sure if the schedule allows.
Yes. We're in the normal schedule, which is four rehearsals for a concert, and they're four nights in a row.
Terrific.
Right.
So
okay. No. What day is this?
This is Thursday. You've got three
right.
more?
No.
Two more. Wait, tomorrow's the concert.
Concert, all right. So we've had three rehearsals. Tonight is the fourth rehearsal.
How many of those faces were familiar
to
you?
95%, certainly.
You knew all the horn players.
Yeah, lots of hugs and lots of, great to see them again.
Yeah. Did they sound excited to play? I mean, did you feel a certain electricity when they
Yes, like... and it's something that's hard to describe, but there's a comfort level. I mean, they know me, I know them. You know, we've done so much together that it's a reunion.
This will be a concert of chemistry tomorrow at 7:30 at Miller Auditorium. Well, why don't we take a musical break with a movement or part of a movement from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. We've talked about this piece before. I know that one of its hallmarks is its dance quality. I don't know that it starts in the first movement.
The first movement, the third movement, the fourth movement all have dance elements to them of different types. But it's often been nicknamed the apotheosis of the dance, this whole symphony.
The key is A major, which is a pretty happy key for strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
some open
E strings have to be navigated.
And is this all about tempo to you, or...?
No, I think for me, as with most Beethoven, it's all about drama. Even though it's not an opera, he only wrote one opera. His music is so dramatic and it's so relentless in a certain way, and he means it that way. He wants you to dig in and listen hard.
Let's dig in a little bit as a preview. Tomorrow's your only chance to hear the live performance of the full symphony with Maestro Raymond Harvey conducting once again the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. The music begins at 7:30. you have offered to provide the concert prelude at 6:30.
Right. I'll do a lecture, as I've done in the past, to kind of walk the audience who comes to that prelude lecture, walk them through the what they're going to hear, what to watch out for.
A little bit of that today. Well, shall we start at the beginning?
Sure.
Sudden exit from a beautiful symphony. I am with Maestro Raymond Harvey. The concert is called Raymond Returns, and Beethoven's Seventh is on the program tomorrow night at 7:30. Thank you for escorting us out the music as it, it was just galloping along.
Right.
Galumphing. There's a da-dun, da-dun, dun, da-dun, dun. Relentless is the word you were using.
And, you know, from a very slow start of that first movement, it then just turns into this happy gallop. It's fun when you play some classical excerpts for young kids because they respond so physically to things like that, you know. And I have many memories of playing music for young children, and they just go wild.
Any educators listening now, grab a copy of the Symphony No. 7. Put it on in the room and see what happens to those kids. Wonderful piece. It does have a really poignant center, slow movement, the andante, which you see in pop culture quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. most great classical music you'll find in pop culture somewhere.
Right.
The second movement of this symphony, it starts in the very low strings, which is unusual. It's in a minor key. It has this ominous feeling about it, but if it's possible, it's ominous but also urgent. And it takes a while for it to develop from its simplicity, adding more and more instruments, getting louder and louder in sound, until it's almost as though the sunlight breaks through and we turn into major and have a lovely tune in the woodwinds.
Well, you've set it up so perfectly. I don't want to extend this conversation any further. Back to Beethoven. Here is music from the second movement.
Thank you.
We are listening to music from Beethoven's incredible Symphony No. 7 with conductor emeritus of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Maestro Raymond Harvey, who is back to lead this concert tomorrow at 7:30 in Miller Auditorium, live and in person. COVID restrictions are in place. Masking required, vaccination proof required. You can find all the details at KalamazooSymphony.com, and that's where you'll buy your tickets as well. We are working our way through Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. Mm-hmm. You just introduced this slow movement, which you said leads to sunshine.
Yes.
the third movement, is that a scherzo?
Third movement is a romping scherzo. Okay. That is interspersed with sort of calm, more adult music, but the scherzo keeps on coming back. But what I'd love our audiences to listen to next is the last movement, which I think has really solidified the nickname of the symphony, the apotheosis of the dance. This last movement, it's fast. It has a whirling dervish sort of feeling to it. It's as though it's always spinning. And you expect it to run out of steam, and it never does.
If you've just tuned in for this conversation with Raymond Harvey, he's already mentioned how comfortable it is to be back with the members of the orchestra. Like, you have an unspoken communication already established.
Yeah, that's nice.
With this orchestra, so they if you do turn into a dervish, they will understand.
Yes, we will not make any disparaging comments.
They know what it's all about. You mentioned that the Andante leads to sunshine, and I want to get off the music for just a moment and ask you, in the year since you've been back in Houston, since 2017, it's been hit by like a hurricane and a freeze with a power outage, and
right.
I was just wondering.
Yeah, Houston has had some bad weather moments, which has done damage to the performing arts community for sure. Mm-hmm. At one point, the Houston Grand Opera had so many things flooded, including their power systems and their opera house and everything. They had to do an entire season of opera in the convention center with the audience on bleachers. That wasn't fun.
It must have been good to get back to.
Yeah. But Houston, it's a resilient city. Houston, I'm not sure everyone knows, is now the fourth largest city in the country. And it keeps growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. We're expecting to overtake Chicago pretty soon.
Wow.
And it's a big metropolis. It has everything you could possibly want or need, or not even need but still want. And it's very diverse. It's one of the most diverse cities in the country.
Do you hear different languages spoken on the street?
You hear lots of different languages. You can be in one neighborhood and explore 20 different cuisines in different restaurants.
Oh, food, you know, right.
It's a foodie town for sure. So it's really, you will never run out of things to do or things to explore in a city like Houston.
Wow. I wouldn't be able to learn it in 5 years. You know, I get outside my neighborhood a little, but it's a pretty vast place. Something to do, multiple things to do every single night
of the week.
Yeah. Do you find yourself having to manage your time well?
The unfortunate thing is when I'm so busy at the university, there's so many things I would love to go and see and don't have the time for.
Always prepping, always in rehearsal or conducting.
Yeah.
Again, this concert is tomorrow night at 7:30, and my guest Raymond Harvey will also offer a prelude talk about this concert and about the works on the program. That starts at 6:30, and all details are at KalamazooSymphony.com. We'll continue with a little bit of Movement 4.
Movement 4 of the Beethoven. Great. Thank you.
It's almost like I'm in an orchestra being led by Maestro Harvey. You pull us in and out of this wonderful music of Beethoven. Mm-hmm. We're saving the best for tomorrow.
This is a little bit off the topic, but when you said that, I remembered I was I had to do a photo shoot, and I can't remember what it was for, but they wanted, you know, dramatic-looking pictures of me conducting. So I'm in my tails and have my baton. And the photographer, you know, I just strike a pose and the photographer would shoot. And then the photographer asked, would you mind if we put on some music? And I, you know, he said, like, you know, one of the Beethoven symphonies. And I said, well, okay, I didn't really understand why. And what it was he put on music that he knows and that I know, and I just conducted to the music. But because he knew the music, the photographer, he could know when to hit a good shot.
Right.
Because of the music. And it was a fascinating process.
Wow, that's a very smart photographer.
Yes.
It's like he knows what's coming.
Right, exactly.
Gets ready.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a wonderful morning chatting with you again, Raymond.
Thank you, Kara.
I want to say your voice is one of the most memorable voices in my history. I can always recall your voice, how it sounds. And, of course, you did some very, very beautiful radio spots for this station that previewed these concerts and walked people in and out of the music with musical excerpts. And that was a real highlight for me.
We did a lot of them.
Yeah. It may be that you are living in wonderful foodie Houston now, but that we can expect more visits as well, as you are music director emeritus of the Kalamazoo Symphony. We have a few minutes left, and this is now the time to talk about the final work on the program, mm-hmm. which in itself is worth an hour of chat.
Of course. It's Stravinsky's ballet, The Firebird. We're doing one of the suites from it. After Stravinsky wrote the entire ballet, how can I say this delicately? Stravinsky was anxious to keep on making money, and so he would extract some music from the full ballet and make it a suite for just orchestra. There are three different suites, because each time he made a new suite, he could charge more money. we're doing the suite from 1919, and it has, you know, several musical moments from the ballet, mm-hmm. And helps to. It does go in sequence, so the story is still in order in the plot. It's a fascinating story, but it's also an amazing orchestration. There's one thing for a composer to write nice tunes and nice rhythms, but to orchestrate it, to know which colors need the brass or the winds or the shimmering string tremolos, Stravinsky was a genius at that.
We know that the Rite of Spring that shocked people,
yes.
and still sounds extremely modern, but were people hearing modernity in the Firebird?
They were, but it was so well balanced with beautiful long lyrical lines, mm-hmm. And with modernity that fit what was happening visually on the ballet stage. The music has a lot of the fluttering of feathers of the Firebird herself, and the evil villain stomping around, the angriness of that. So it's all there in the music. And of course, if you have a chance to see the ballet, to see the visual with this music is quite astounding.
You had a concert of Petrushka, which did include some of mm-hmm. these visuals, the folk art or these mm-hmm. beautiful elements of Russian art and music coming together. And it's also very easy to bring your own imagination.
Oh, very much so.
To this music. Yeah. I did read an Igor Stravinsky biography some years ago, and it got a little tedious over his fights for copyright.
Oh, yes.
And he was trying to get paid, yes, but he was also being, you know, cheated because
right.
different countries had different rules.
Right.
About, you know.
There's a wonderful joke that when he would sign his initials, Igor Stravinsky, IS, he would make it look like a dollar sign.
Blatantly, like, you know, you better pay me what I'm worth.
Right, exactly.
Ergo, we have a number of Firebird Suites, and I had to look it up on the program here to make sure I had the right one, because there's 1911, 1945,
yes,
1919. Yeah. This one is about 22 minutes long.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a good overview of the ballet, and it is told in order of the story.
Yes.
Well, today we'll finish with the kind of the last third of the ballet, starting with the Infernal Dance.
Yes.
It'll be very exciting when you get to this point.
Oh, yes.
In the music. There is, as you said, a lot of quiet, lyrical, atmospheric music in the beginning.
Right, right. But this then, because this is the evil character, turns into something with lots of percussion, lots of low brass, trombones and tuba, and lots of scared, fluttering woodwinds. You know, because the evil guy is out to get them.
Raymond, I can't keep you here forever. It is wonderful to be in the same studio with you again, once again chatting about music here on Classical WMUK. A lot of things have changed since you've been gone, but yeah. Some things stay the same.
Yes, and it's lovely to be back. It truly is.
Well, it's been a great morning. Let me tell our listeners once again that this concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 with a 6:30 prelude talk by Maestro Harvey. You'll find all the details at KalamazooSymphony.com. There are individual tickets. There are season tickets, packages. There's the full COVID policy, so you can be prepared for that, not be shocked at the door. Everyone should be ready to adhere to some guidelines at any event now in Michigan. So once you get your mask on and you're in your seat, you'll forget all about it.
Sure.
It'll be a wonderful concert. Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.